Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
U.S. bomb attacks on three Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend. We heard from the U.N.'s atomic watchdog this morning. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
The quote here, given the explosive payload utilized and the extremely vibration-sensitive nature of those centrifuges down there, very significant damage is expected to have occurred.
Top Trump administration officials have insisted the U.S. attacks were not intended to oust the Ayatollah, but President Trump may have a different perspective. CBS's Natalie Brand.
He says it's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be regime change?
Scorching temperatures will spread out in the east today. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano.
Today, 96 in New York, 99 in Hartford, and 100 degrees down in D.C.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Today might be the hottest of them all. The extreme heat warning remains in effect through 7 tonight for Racine, Milwaukee, and Kenosha counties. It'll still be hot towards the west, just not enough for the Weather Service to call for the specific alert. Heat index values will hit near 107. Authorities say to stay hydrated and to stay cool. Cooling centers are still running in most communities. You can call 211 to find one near you. There have been several reports of roads buckling, with one instance on the interstate in Racine County yesterday. We'll have the latest on the heat and what comes next in the forecast. There were lots of police lights on the Hone Bridge last night after a fatal motorcycle crash. Police say a cyclist lost control shortly before 10 and crashed. Rescue teams attempted life-saving efforts, but the rider died. Sheriff's officials confirm no other vehicles were involved, and the crash does remain under investigation. The other big political party could also be seeing a change at the top. According to JS Online, Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming says he received a call from an executive committee member suggesting a majority of the board wants his resignation. Schimming tells the paper that he has since received calls of support across the state and has no immediate plans to step aside. The alleged move to push him out follows months of infighting over the party's direction and leadership. Racine native Willow Newell made history Saturday night by becoming the first black woman to win the Miss Wisconsin title. She beat 29 other contestants to claim the crown. Newell graduated from Carthage College this year and has been a longtime performer at the Racine Theater Guild. Newell has earned over $15,000 in scholarships and will compete for Miss America this fall. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates beginning a three-game series at American Family Field tonight. The Brewers went from a 9-3 lead over the Twins yesterday to a 9-8 win thanks to closer Trevor McGill, manager Pat Murphy.
When leverage guys come in with a big margin, sometimes things are different. That's kind of the story of that. But they held it together, and McGill was terrific. You know, McGill was terrific.
NBA, Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets in a blockbuster deal with the Phoenix Suns. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 103-91, to win their first NBA title. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton suffering a torn Achilles in the first quarter. Racing, Alex Palou winning the XPEL Grand Prix at Road America on a very hot day at Elkhart Lake.
It was a crazy race. It was a crazy race for us. At moments, I thought we were losing a ton of positions, and it was a tough race for everybody.
That's Indy driver Alex Palou with sports on Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
Boy, it is going to be warm and muggy again today. Sunshine, a little breezy with a high of 94, but that heat index is going to be pushing 100 today. A few thunderstorms this evening. A couple of those could be strong to severe tomorrow. Still a few scattered thunderstorms, but it will be cooler with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman joins us to cover all the weekend news. And then we're talking ticks in hour number two with entomologist PJ Leash, the bug guy. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue, and good morning. Welcome back. It's a Monday morning, June 23rd, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy joining us from A1 in a moment. Brittany Merlot giving us the forecast coming up as well. First, a reminder, of course, we'd love to have you sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of the homepage, where today Christina Lurie has a story in there about frozen custard. And what is it about Wisconsin that we love our frozen custard so much? I mean, we like our ice cream too, but custard's really kind of something unique to this neck of the woods. Parker, I was going to mention to you as well, and you know, actually, let's bring everybody in, John and Gordon, Brittany, and all that.
Big round table.
Let's fix things right on air here, okay? Let's have one of those pull the curtain back moments. So as I'm refilling my coffee in the kitchen, and up comes on my phone screen a thing from Spotify saying that, you know, the podcast episode has dropped for the 6 a.m. hour.
Yeah.
Now, the title for the 6 a.m. hour was Iran Surrenders, and then in brackets, sarcasm font. Mm-hmm. Well, we've learned today that if you put it in the brackets, it doesn't show up in the title. So right now, everybody thinks my first hour is about Iran surrendering.
I fixed
not
that.
Not even being sarcastic about it.
Wow. I fixed that.
Do you fix that already?
I thought so. I thought I fixed it right away.
Okay, well,
go Parker.
I'll take a look and let you go.
I will.
Well, not now, but you know, at some point here, we're not going to lose that many more listeners a misleading title.
Yeah, but I'm all for good information, not misinformation, Pat.
Oh, listen to this.
Oh, that is wonderful. I'm feeling kid. Warm.
Spoken like a man straight out of college who still has. Like
hope,
great
optimism, yeah. desire,
that's right,
ambition,
that's right.
That's all right. The things I miss so much, along with my knees and one of my shoulders.
Oh, those are pretty much gone.
Wow.
Yep. We'll ask the guys how they survived the heat here in a bit. But Brittany, since you got the forecast duties here, how did you beat the heat, or what did you do when you were out and about?
Yeah, so I went to the beach. I went to Lake Superior, the free AC, and tried to attempt to go in the water, but it was so cold there I didn't even need to.
No, there was no 100-degree heat index up there.
No, not at all. Okay. It was in the mid-50s. So
right. So you did it right. All right.
I did.
And it's moving on out of here now.
Yes, it is. Slowly but surely. Now, there still is, you know, heat advisories for a good 2/3 of the state, pretty much the eastern and southern parts. And it still stays there till about 7 o'clock this evening. So still feeling like the low 100s today, still reaching the low 90s for a good chunk of the state. But far northwest, your highs are going to be in the upper 70s. Yeah, some free AC is rolling through, but there's a price to pay to get the cooler temperatures here. And that's going to come in the form of storms. Some could be strong to severe, especially in areas towards La Crosse, into Wausau, then down into the Fox Valley, Madison, you're into that area as well. These storms want to start around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. probably around Winona, La Crosse area, Wausau. And they're going to start to build and become more numerous and maybe a little bit stronger with some high winds possible, too. And as there's going to be a line as it pushes in towards the Madison-Green Bay area. And this is only going to be while the daylight's out. Once it gets dark, this thing fizzles out and becomes just rain. So again, really high risk of some high winds and, of course, some heavy downpours. Hail and a tornado is possible, especially early as these storms start to form. But once they get into that line, I think that risk kind of goes away a little bit more. But still, storms sparking up around noon. Again, tomorrow, the front is going to be sitting over southern Wisconsin. It is going to continue some heavy rainfall. Then it lifts north as we go through the rest of the week. And then it starts to get out of here as we go into the weekend. So a lot of heavy rain, widespread 1 inch is expected. Some places could get around 3 to 5 inches by the time this week is over. So this
is, again, look for your target for mowing the lawn and make your target or you're going to regret it later on.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. I see how this works. All right. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate so much. Coming up right after this program, Matt and Air on Air, Jane and Greg have Civic Media's new news director, Sholly Pittman, coming up at 9:30. Wisconsin bug guy, PJ Leisch from UW-Madison's entomology department. And, of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, their segment coming up at 10:50. On the Todd Alba Show, 2:30 this afternoon, he will welcome in State Senator Kelda Royce from the Joint Finance Committee. And the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, Matt Rothschild is the guest co-host with Elon Berman from the American Foreign Policy Council with a follow-up on the U.S. attack on Iran over the weekend. The other fun things we get to do here on this program are talking to some of the people who cover Wisconsin in other local areas. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram on Wednesday, James Kelly, who does the northwestern part of the state. Jimmy Cuska talks to us from covering things over in the western Wisconsin area. And it's so great that on Monday mornings, we get to talk to our Madison morning folks, John and Gordy, who join us from Madison Studio A1. Guys, how are you?
Good.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. How did you guys survive the heat?
Do you
thrive on it? Yes.
No, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to me. I'm really allergic to dew points. So anytime the dew points are high, you won't find me anywhere outside. I am indoors, air conditioning, fans blowing like crazy.
Yeah, so we actually ran into each other over the weekend in the Walmart parking lot on the west side of Madison, and we decided, we'd never talk to each other once the show was over. We usually just go our separate ways, and especially on the weekends, we don't really check in with each other. You know, we have other lives to lead, but we ran into each other, and we thought, well, let's go have a beer somewhere.
That's right.
So that's what we did. We went to a new place in town that a friend of ours owns, and we had a nice cold one. So you had
a good time, because I see this unfolding. You get the beer, you each take a sip. You look at each other. It's like, oh, yeah, that's why we don't do this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway. When you're doing a morning show, having a beer is like a real downer. You're ready to go to sleep right after the beer.
Exactly. We both needed a nap. After one beer. Yeah.
But the funny thing about the heat, though, I mean, it was really hot down here, 93 degrees. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, we were out there working in the yard really hard, doing a lot of gardening, making sure that, we're getting ready for the week-long rain. Our neighbors were doing the same damn thing. Everybody was outdoors working really hard in the yard with 93 degree temperatures. Ridiculous.
It's crazy. I know, because because otherwise if it rains and you don't get things done, it just gets really out of hand. So no, I totally understand that part. We actually took the pontoon out for the first time this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And you kind of get, those little misters, the fans that, blow a little water on you. You get on the lake naturally. It was really windy, of course, all weekend. Mm-hmm. And so it really chops up the water. And you can get that speed just right that you can dunk all of your riders occasionally. You just hit the wave. They get the spray.
Beautiful.
9 out of 10 times they're mad at you. But this weekend it was like, thank you.
Yes,
I needed
please.
That. Yes, please. We go upriver to a place called the Mallard. It's just this little resort with six cabins and some campsites. But then it also has a bar. And so a lot of people come upriver or downriver and they park their boat in there and they go get a cold one and they sit around for a little bit. And it's got this area where once a year they dump a truckload of sand on the river. It's maybe 30 feet
wide tops and you know, maybe 8 feet, you know, before the water, before you get to the river. And all of our grandkids over the years have always referred to it at a certain age, like the beach. They want to go to the beach. I just think that's adorable. I'm like, the beach. It's like this little pile of sand, you know, but it works for them. They go hunting for, you know, crayfish in the air or crawfish in the, you know, in the rocks and everything there.
Yeah.
And after all these years, they still keep coming back. These stupid crawfish. Like, have you not figured out the kids that are like biting your head off or whatever? They're just like, oh, look, my thing is and then it flops over dead. But, you know, it's
when the sand arrives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a vacation.
when you hear the kids go, like, our yard is filled with, you know, squirrels and rabbits. It looks like something out of, you know, Snow White or whatever. But as soon as, you know, all the little kids show up, boom, they're gone. There is not a woodland creature to be found for the next, you know, 3 days. Until they realize that the coast is clear. But it was still fun. Well, I'm glad you guys beat the Heat. Now, Parker was telling us earlier, he was working the Madison Mallards game when that pitcher had a no-hitter the other day. And I've been to two Madison Mallards games. Love them. I've been to a few Eau Claire Express games as well. St. Paul Saint. I love Northwoods League baseball. I love minor league baseball. Is it something that you guys, I mean, the team's been around for a little while now, so do you go to a game or two here and there, or does that something you did, you used to do, you don't do so
used
much
used to
anymore?
Do a long time ago, the Madison Muskies.
Yeah, before the Muskies, they changed the name to the Mallards, or they got different management or owners or whatever. It was the Muskies, and we used to go to some of those games.
Yeah, those were a lot of fun.
Haven't been out there for a while, though. But, yeah, I love minor league baseball. It just it's the way it should be. You know, it's families coming out to the ballpark and having a good time. And they have more family activities, you know, in and around the ballpark. So, yeah, it's a good time, though.
Yeah, in the old days with the Muskies, they used to make fun of their mascot. And they had a lot, you know, they celebrated the craziness of a Muskie.
Sure.
And that was great. I don't know. Did they do that now with the Mallards at all?
I'm
not sure. I don't think so. Pat, are you familiar with the Savannah Bananas? Are you know about these guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I do. We were talking about them the other day.
Yeah, because I discovered I saw it on ESPN and I was just freaked out over it. I had no idea the Savannah Bananas were around. And who is the other team that they have?
I'm not sure who they play. Yeah.
For folks that don't know, would it be fair to call them animals, like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball?
Yes, that's it.
Exactly. Yes. You know,
just a lot of performance, but they're talented. They're not like they just happen to play baseball. It's like, no, they can actually play baseball and do all these crazy things.
I saw the outfielder catch a fly ball out there with his hand behind his back, glove behind his back. He caught the ball. Freaked me out. This is like my first introduction to entertainment in baseball. Why don't they do this all the time in baseball? You know, they dance between, you know, the teams setting up and or on the sidelines.
And the umpires are out involved there. And the whole team is involved and they get the fans going. Great way to watch baseball. Yeah.
Look how much more involved it is now, not just at the minor league parks, but even you go to American Family Field or Target Field, and they've now got stuff in the concourses, you know, for the kids to do.
Yeah,
maybe pitch a ball through, you know, past a radar gun or whatever. And how different it is then. I mean, if you still have to go to Wrigley or Fenway, these two things that were built in 1912, and how many generations of kids had to go there, and dad goes and he's got his little straw hat on and says, no, you're just going to watch the game. There's nothing else to do.
Exactly.
Nothing else. Just watch the game. We got it a lot easier now. There's a lot of distractions, to be sure, if you just want to watch the game. But I think most people welcome it. And like I said, Madison's got a great setup for it, as does Eau Claire.
Yes.
I like to make a tour of some of these others. I have not been to any of the others yet around Wisconsin. Wausau, Appleton's got one. So if we can get Parker to work on that, maybe start doing some remotes from some of these minor league ballparks.
Do you want that?
That be fun?
Do you want a night game for me?
No.
Nights with Pat Kreitlow?
No, we're totally 6 a.m. You know, out there, and we're just talking to the groundskeepers, you know. Let them have all the fun stuff later in the day. We're talking to John and Gordy here from our Civic Media Station in Madison. A local update is coming up next for a couple of you. For others, we will continue conversing with John and Gordy. And then later, when we're all together 15 minutes from now, we are going to be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong about the state budget process, the process that could be more bipartisan, but some people don't want it to be more bipartisan. Live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wissota, thanks for spending part of your mornings up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Visit the Milwaukee County Zoo this summer to enjoy so many species of connection. Home to more than 2,200 animals and over 340 species, kids can dig into dinos at the zoo's summer exhibit. At Exploration Dinosaur, presented by Meyer, you'll unearth the past and explore prehistoric bones, teeth, and more from mighty dinosaurs like T-Rex and Triceratops. It's an exciting, hands-on adventure with life-size dinos. Exploration Dinosaur is open daily through October 5th. Learn more at milwaukeezoo.org.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the interview system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach. I'm back. And here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. We have a lot of news that happens here at Civic Media, and one of the things we love reporting on is sports. Whether it's Bucks, Brewers, Packers, Badgers, local, high school, college, whatever, Wisconsin has a rich and vast resource of sports and sports news. One of the best works right here at Civic Media. His name is Mike Clemens. And every Friday on WRJN, Don Rosen sits down with Mike to recap the scores, talk about upcoming games, and maybe look at a little bit of history going on. But they kick things off talking about a local legend who was honored at an event earlier last week.
Did you know that Gary Sewer, a legendary sportscaster here at WRJN, was honored by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association with the Broadcast Legend Award? Isn't that something?
Oh, is that something new?
I didn't know about it. I was asking people. And yeah, he was honored posthumously, of course. He passed away in 2020. But, I mean, this guy's got the press box at Horlick Field named after him. Mm-hmm. And this is so well-deserved. I mean, he just loved local sports, local news. He was such a great person to work with. I worked with him for about 15, 20 years or whatever. And I'm glad he got that honor from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
You know, we've talked so much about Bob Uecker and how great he was as a baseball announcer and funny. You remember Pat Hughes?
Yes.
Was his sidekick for about 12 years?
Yes.
Before he got the job with the Cubs, like back in the 90s, right? And so I listened to some of Pat Hughes doing the games. He's pretty funny, too. Like, he was talking about, you know, this pitcher that the Brewers are going to have tonight. He says, and you don't run for the Brewers pitcher tomorrow night up in Minneapolis. It'll be Jacob Mizorowski. Did I say Jacob right?
That is good. So a baseball bat got stuck in the net. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, Sal Frelick, you know, was at bat for the Brewers, and the bat came slipping out of his hands and gets stuck up in the net, the safety net, behind home plate, about 15, 20 feet up in the air, and it's just hanging there. So all of a sudden, some kid, actually, man looked like to be in his late 20s, wearing Ray-Bans, a polo shirt, some khaki pants, he jumps onto the net and starts climbing it like Spider-Man. And he goes up there and pulls that bat out of the top of the net and brings it down. Well, when he comes down, you know, there's a bunch of ushers there saying, okay, here you go. Yeah, thank you. And he makes them, they make him hand the bat over to them. And, the game resumes. Well, after the game, Sal Frelick came over and waved the young man over and said, hey, kid, that was pretty sharp. And so he gave him his bat and autographed it and said, hey, nice climb.
Oh, that is good. Frelick. Yeah.
So he got like a souvenir bat, you know, after the game was over with. But yeah, that story is going national this morning.
I don't know what you do with this information, but I found this out yesterday. There are no laws preventing NBA, NFL, or any other sports league from rigging their games. Isn't that amazing? Now, there's no laws against it. It doesn't mean there's no baseball rules, but there's no laws against that.
That's because, you know what the senators are doing in the lobby of the U.S. Senate chambers. They're betting on games. So.
Rigging games. All right, let's see. We've got a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about the Packers.
I had a chance to sit down with the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy.
He's been
with the operation for 12 years, and I said, boy, you know, you've been there for Titletown. And, building new football operations building with both the coaches and the GM and all the scouts and coaches and players are in there. They're renovating the locker room, the NFL draft. He's been there for all of that. So what's next? He says, there's three things, Mike. We got to win games. We got to make sure the Packers stay in Green Bay. And we'll always do things to strengthen our community. And that got out there, and people were like, whoa, what do you mean stay in Green Bay?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Packers shareholder. I'm one of the owners. You're not going anywhere. And I think what he's saying is, you know, look, do you remember that story is out about 6 months ago that the Packers were kind of arm wrestling back and forth with the city in Green Bay about the lease for the stadium and, you know, through 2030 or something like that? And it sort of got tabled. I think he's trying to say, we need to get that taken care of. You know, we come on, city of Green Bay. We need to just step up and take care of that. So that's what he's basically saying is, you know, what one of the first things he has to get done is to secure their location there.
Didn't somebody just buy a professional sports team the other day?
Los Angeles Lakers were bought by the corporation. Jeannie Buss, her father, Dr. Buss, back in 1979, bought the Lakers for $67 million and turned them into this tremendous franchise and all those championships from Kobe and Magic on down. And the corporation that owns the Dodgers bought them for $10 billion.
Oh, my goodness.
$10 billion.
Whoa. Yeah. Hey, you know, I've been seeing lately on YouTube, and this one really bothers me. A lot of these youth leagues are playing, and they're dirty. Some of these kids, they trip people. One guy smacked another player because he didn't like the way he slid into base. I don't like that stuff, especially in a little league. I don't like it in baseball, period. But in a little league, come on, there's no room for that. I mean, they got to put an end to that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, we always worry about, you know, heightened violence everywhere in society. But at the same time, too, when we were having schoolyard brawls and stuff, and, you know, the teachers that were monitoring the playground, they just said, let it happen for a while. Boys will be boys. And then they separate it. And it's, you know, it's usually not between the players. It's usually the parents.
Yeah, parents a lot. Yeah, get involved. Hey, Mike, you have a great weekend. Keep nice and cool tomorrow. It's going to be a hot weekend when you're traveling. And we'll talk to you next Friday once again. All right.
Thank you, Don Rosen.
Again, you can catch that conversation every single Friday on Don Rosen's show, which he's on 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on WRJN. And don't worry, if you can't get WRJN on your radio dial, you can download the Civic Media app right now and listen anytime, anywhere. Go to the Apple or Google Play stores to download yours today. It's absolutely free, it's customizable, and you can call us, text us, or send a voice note to a show. It's really a great app, and you can participate in contests, and again, it's free. You now have your mission for the day. Get the Civic Media app. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, subscribe to our newsletter. Go to waukradio.com for more information. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll see you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Cooling centers remain open in most communities as an extreme heat warning stays in effect. While it's still hot in Waukesha and Walworth counties, the warning is for Racine, Milwaukee, and Kenosha counties until 7. Heat index values will be near 107 today. Officials remind people to stay hydrated, stay cool, and to check on elderly neighbors or relatives. You can find a cooling center near you by calling 211. We'll have the latest coming up in the forecast. While one Waukesha educational option has gone away, a new opportunity has popped up. Waukesha County Technical College and UW-Milwaukee are teaming up to help students move from an associate's to a bachelor's degree. The new UWM University Center at WCTC will allow students to transfer all their credits to UWM, making the process faster. A statement says students won't have to worry about credits not counting. The initiative comes as the UWM at Waukesha campus closed. Bunker busters were used over the weekend, but the big bill is still lingering. Joanne Krulatz has more.
Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson wants to delay the Trump administration's big, beautiful bill. Johnson is going against fellow Republicans on the budget vote and released a report showing the House passed budget reconciliation bill would put the U.S. into a massive deficit of $24 trillion over the next 10 years. Johnson is also pushing back against President Trump's claims that Republicans who oppose the budget would be finished in politics. Johnson says he'd be happy to be done if it stopped the bill and that trying to rush it to the Senate floor for a vote before the July 4th recess could stop any vote at all.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Believe it or not, Hollywood is making a sequel. In this case, it is the fourth in a series of Meet the Parents films. The Hollywood Reporter says Owen Wilson has officially signed onto the project, joining Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, and newcomer to the cast, Ariana Grande. It's always nice to have a fresh face. Paramount Pictures is teaming up with Universal for the latest installment, which is co-written by John Hamburg, who also co-wrote the previous three films and will direct this new chapter. If you listen to Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network, you've probably heard me talk about this franchise quite a bit, as it was started by frequent guest and writer Greg Liana, whose $50,000 independent film ended up at Universal Studios and is now one of the highest-grossing live-action comedy franchises ever. Meet the Parents is expected to hit theaters Thanksgiving of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Boy, it is going to be warm and muggy again today. Sunshine, a little breezy with a high of 94, but that heat index is going to be pushing 100 today. A few thunderstorms this evening. A couple of those could be strong to severe tomorrow. Still a few scattered thunderstorms, but it will be cooler with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all-time favorite summer blockbuster movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
We may have set some kind of a record in the comment sections today. Now, a lot of it has to do with the attack on Iran over the weekend, with people going back and forth about what was constitutional or not, and other stuff, let's just say. Not everybody plays nice in the comment section, if you know what I'm saying. So every so often, it's a little tougher to sift through and find these things. But here from Tony up here, Pat needs a backlight to separate him from his fancy new bookshelf. If we're critiquing, it's hard to separate his black headphones from his black bookcase. Well, Tony, let me grab my fancy new remote control here, and let's try that.
Ooh, look at that.
Look at that. We got it's not like high intensity backlighting, but it's not nothing. So
it appears that you're missing a light.
I am missing a light. I am.
Okay.
Here's the problem with IKEA.
With IKEA. Oh boy. Yeah.
So I ordered all this online. I had it delivered, and I saw the lights up here. They look really nice.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you that if you do more than three lights, you need a separate little power adapter thingy.
Gotcha.
So I have to go looking up the power adapter thingy, and then I can put up, you know, the fourth light that goes there. But thank you for noticing. Now it's going to bug everybody when they look at this.
I like to have attention to detail.
Well, that you got. So there, we've taken care of that. Yeah. It's a Monday morning. It's June 23rd. Appreciate you having you here, and we appreciate State Representative Francesca Hong, who's joining us as well to give us a bit of an update on the state budget. Busy being, you know, mom in the meantime. And is it summer camp season now?
Yes, today is the first day of camp, and of course he did well, and I just had to hover real quick to see if he was all good.
Aw.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, I had a daughter staying with me over the weekend, and the two little ones, ages 6 and 3, and they left, you know, mid-show here, which is really tough because they're, you know, doing hugs and squeezes and kisses and everything. I'm like, just go. I can't cry on the radio. Just stop it. So I get it. We got to take care of family, especially your job, which has demands in all the weirdest times. You know, you never know when you got to go knock doors or go to a fundraiser or, I don't know, pass some legislation, which would be great to do if you all could get a chance to. But you shared a clip recently of some committee interaction and how the committee chair just really wants to micromanage the conversation in a way that avoids talking about all of the things that go into a state budget. It's not just about, you know, tax cuts for the well-off, but there's healthcare, there's education, there's all these things that are necessary. And, you know, you were simply trying to, I think, make the point that we have a very interconnected budget if you're willing to make those connections.
Well, I think, first of all, I was responding to testimony from the bill authors regarding a bill that would have removed reoccurring referenda. And so I thought that was a really great segue and would give me an opportunity to build some context around how what would be driving the need for schools to go to referendum. And the chair of the committee, Representative Joel Kitchens, felt as though that was not pertaining to the bill, interrupted me multiple times. And even though I tried to reframe the question and add additional context, he accused me of trying to always twist the conversation. But especially when Republicans are saying things like historic investments in school and these increasing budgets, that's just not true. And the latest votes that happened in the Joint Committee of Finance executive session last week, the Republican motion included $0 increase in state aid or equalization aid for K-12 public schools. This has not happened since 2011, when Scott Walker administration actually decreased the state aid to K-12 public schools. So it's incredibly unprecedented. I don't love using that word because it's not surprising that the Republicans have very little interest in actually taking care of our kids. But I think it's important for folks to know that what they are presenting in their motions is wholly inadequate. And in addition to the $0 state aid increase, we're talking about 37% special education reimbursement, where remember that is for private schools where public tax dollars are going to voucher schools, they receive 90% reimbursement for the state for their special education costs. And so we're pitting students against one another. And in a time where we should be ensuring that every child has their needs met, and opportunities to thrive, we're picking and choosing how to fund our schools and really pitting our communities against one another too, when we're forcing taxpayers to raise their own property taxes because the state refuses to fully and adequately fund our schools.
As you were trying to make these points and getting interrupted, I thought of the time when Elizabeth Warren was trying to do the same thing in the Senate and actually was disciplined for continuing to speak, and the phrase "yet she persisted" came into the lexicon, and I immediately thought of that watching you do this, because all I thought you were trying to do, and this is I'm putting words in your mouth here, was to want to say to the Republicans, okay, look, you don't want these recurring referendums, so you could maybe better fund the schools, right? So that we don't need the referendums. And I just wanted one of them to go, oh, no, we don't want to fund schools. We just don't want you guys to have any more referendums. I mean, at least be honest with folks that way, that's what this bill is really all about. You just don't like that pesky democracy breaking out.
And we were presenting alternatives and solutions that, again, would eliminate the need to go to referenda. And unfortunately, having a conversation about inadequate public school funding is one that Republicans will continue to evade because it's something that their communities, people in their district, are demanding. And we saw that with testimony from all across the state, where Wisconsinites showed up to tell Republicans and Democrats on the Committee on Joint Finance what their communities need, that we need a budget that reflects our morals, our values, our needs. And unfortunately, the Republicans refused to listen, especially, and they showed that in their budget motion.
And so I've drawn some parallels to what we're seeing in Congress as well. And it seems like you have more demand than ever for bipartisanship, or at least an attempt to talk to one another. Mm-hmm. And yet in both Washington, D.C. and Madison, you see a side of the aisle that is going out of its way to cut Democrats out of the conversation. And I mean, look, I know there's a lot of people that favor this guy who'd love to bring autocracy to the country, but we are not a land of one party rule yet. And yet it seems like it's really too much to ask that, you know, if they're going to need Democratic votes to pass a budget, maybe they would let you get a word in edgewise before they, you know, implode amongst themselves and can't pass a budget.
Well, Democrats are going to continue to fight for the needs of Wisconsinites and talk about what people are actually asking for in the state budget and how we use their tax dollars. And they're asking for investments in childcare to make childcare services hopefully more affordable and available for communities across the state, especially our rural communities. We need to be paying childcare educators, making sure providers have what they need to stay open. They're asking for increases, actually demanding increases in public education, both K-12 and higher ed. And instead, Republicans responded with, we're going to do an $87 million cut to the universities of Wisconsin. And so Republicans can do, I don't know, I think they really are in disarray. And while we wait for them to get their act together, even though I would like to replace that word with something else, yes. Democrats are going to continue to talk about what Wisconsinites want and are demanding of their government, of their representation. And so folks can talk about bipartisanship in terms of working together, but when the other side has continuously left the negotiating table, when they were left conversations with the governor, I think it's really important that we show people who they are. And who they are folks who refuse to listen to their communities. And so we as Democrats have a deep responsibility to ensure that our message is clear, that we are listening to Wisconsinites. We are going to continue to fight for them. And we have no problem going in to communities whose representatives are not listening and talking about how we can collectively fight back and do better for our communities.
We're talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, and here's where we get into some speculation. And again, I'm happy to be accused of overthinking something, but you've got a couple of Republican senators already saying that they're not going to vote for the thing that's appears to be coming out of the Joint Finance Committee. So in theory, it could get to the point where Republicans don't have enough votes amongst themselves to pass a budget. And you see some reporters writing, well, they may have to go get, you know, one or two votes from the Democratic side of things. And my contention has been that this is very likely just a head fake. This just clears the path for them to say, you know, we can't agree amongst themselves and we don't want to talk to Democrats, so we're just not going to pass a budget. That there's, for some folks, there may not even be an interest in passing a budget because, you know, spending just continues at the current budget level and they don't have to make any tough choices. Is that wildly speculative? Am I wildly overthinking this, or is a no budget a possibility?
Pat, I always appreciate you being thoughtful and analytical. I wouldn't say it's overthinking. It's unfortunate that we are debating on passing a budget that Republicans have presented. This is the Republican budget that they themselves are not agreeing on, that again does the needs of Wisconsinites. I think it's important that we pass a budget that at least makes sure that we are funding public education, childcare, higher education, that we are not opening any new prisons. I think it's important to continue the conversation about Green Bay. Yes, our budget will, the previous session budget will carry over if the budget is not signed as legislation by June 30th. But I also think we have a responsibility to give the governor courage and support to reject a budget that refuses to, that does not meet the needs of Wisconsinites. I think especially with the impending federal cuts and what this big dumb bill that is being worked on and that the Senate most likely will be voting on this week in the reconciliation bill. It's imperative that the state do everything we can to ensure that communities have what they need to take care of our constituents. And so I think in addition to the fact that maybe Democrats and Republicans in the Senate are having conversations, a budget that is presented to the governor needs to be one that includes investments in childcare, K-12 education, higher education, and as even though we haven't seen the governor reject the budget in full, this is a much different political climate, mm-hmm. and I would hope we can continue to have that conversation about how we need to fight for a budget that reflects the needs and meets the needs of Wisconsinites.
And now you see why people like Alicia have comments like Representative Hong has the patience of a saint. and we not the vocabulary necessarily, but the patience, and that's the thing that's important. Fran, thank you so much for taking time out for talking to us in the middle of a busy family day. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Always happy to be here. Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. Jane Matinere tells us what's coming up next on her program. A local update for the rest of you, all here on our mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
There's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and I'm here, back again, and telling you what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Summer is officially here, and we want to make sure that you are up to speed on everything going on with the weather, because let's face it, Wisconsin summers can be a little bit crazy. One day it's rain, one day it's sun, another day it's absolutely blazing outside, and you can't say that a winter storm in the middle of June is something that could never happen here in the Dairy State. But when it comes to reliable and accurate forecasts, we go to one person, and that is Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who has for you this week's upcoming forecast. Brittany?
Thanks, Greg. Well, I think it's going to be an interesting day across the state today. A lot of active weather as a cold front is actually swinging through. So here's what we've got going on this morning. Temperatures mild. It's still muggy out there. I mean, overnight lows only fell to the upper 70s. And of course, today we're still looking at that high heat and humidity lingering. The extreme heat warning remains in effect until 7 o'clock tonight. We're looking at a heat index today of around 105 to about 109. With, of course, those temperatures going right back to the mid-90s. Can you believe just 8 days ago we were actually in the 60s? Remember that cool weekend? The whole weekend. Then on Tuesday, we hit those low 90s. We got soaked on Wednesday with an inch and a half of rainfall. Thursday and Friday, we were comfortable in the mid-80s, and then the heat and humidity seeped in. Now, it was a bright and beautiful weekend, don't get me wrong. I hope you had a good one. But now as the cold front moves through, it's going to push in and stall out over the state. This is going to create some problems, okay? Heavy rainfall over and over in the same areas. Now, it's going to kind of wobble a little bit. It'll lift north and then drop back south before it exits the area. And it's going to be here all week long. So we're kind of looking at flood potential here and excessive rain. We're looking at about a widespread 1 inch. And we could see places with about 3 to 6 inches total. That's going to rise streams, rivers, and create a lot of flooding in those farms. So while we may have some sunshine now, it's not going to last forever. This morning, the possibility of strong to severe storms lingers north. Then as the front slowly moves south, it sparks up probably from around Green Bay down to Richland Center or so, becoming more numerous along the front. It's slowly going to move its way down towards us, but the Storm Prediction Center put a slight risk, the level 2 out of 5 on the risk scale. Well, that goes from Eau Claire to Rhinelander, all the way south through a good chunk of the state, right? They're looking at the strongest of the storms, but it stops. For most of Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, all of that, we're actually at a marginal risk. Now, northern Milwaukee is still in that risk. From like Whitefish Bay, Waukesha, Janesville, those areas still could have the ingredients to create some strong storms. But otherwise, I honestly really think with the latest data that's coming in, it's going to fizzle out. I mean, it's not getting here until late at night. I mean, it's still going to be a mostly sunny, breezy, warm, hot day, right? We're not going to see those clouds start to really roll in until this evening. Becoming cloudy probably around 8 or so, and then starting to rain around 9, maybe lasting till about midnight. And then it's gone, it fizzles out. For now. And then it kind of sits right over us, so more storms could spark up on occasion throughout Tuesday and into our Wednesday as well, before the whole thing starts to lift a little bit north. The north woods and the risk for the heavy rainfall, strong to severe storms then to end the week. Of course, we have another cold front that's going to move through by the weekend. That's going to swing more showers and storms our way. Pretty much the jet stream sitting right over the state. So we're going to see an unsettled pattern the entire week, into the weekend, and even into early next week, too. Doesn't look like a dry spell at all. And of course, in terms of our temperatures, we're going to start to feel much more comfortable. Or maybe not cool if you wanted the summer vibe to linger. Highs will be in the upper 70s on Tuesday, probably the low 70s on Wednesday, and then we'll scrape about 80 degrees on Thursday. And of course, stay cool and keep hydrated today. And never leave kids or pets in the car. That heats up in a matter of minutes. Now, if those storms do stay strong as they approach us later tonight, main risks is going to be damaging wind gusts. They could approach about 60, 70 miles per hour, so some scatter damage is definitely possible. Otherwise, the threat for large hail stays much, much further north. And as the temperatures cool and the rain soaks us, the threat for severe starts to go away. Like I said, really shifts to more of the heavy rainfall continuing over and over in the same areas and the possibility for flooding. A few rumbles of thunder here and there will still be possible, but keep your hopes up and your heads high because we do have a brief high-pressure system that wants to squeeze on in right in time for the weekend. I hope you have a marvelous Monday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Greg, back to you.
Thank you so much for that forecast, Brittany. And you can find her all over civic media. You can go to civicmedia.us. You can find the stories she's working on. You can hear her on shows on Matt and Air on Air. We have her on every Thursday for Weather and Wine. You can also get the Civic Media app and get those updates to your device. Remember, it's the Civic Media app. It's free. Go to the Apple or Google Play Store and get yours today. If you're not doing anything after Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, stick around for Matt and Air on Air. We're on from 9 to 11, and today we have got Civic Media's brand new news director, Charlie Pittman, here at 9:35. She'll be here every Monday to talk about the news from the weekend, stories we may have missed, and a sneak peek at what's coming up from the Civic Media news desk. We also have PJ Leash, the bug guy, here from UW-Madison to talk about the ticks coming this summer, what to do to avoid them, and talk about invasive insects as well. And as always, we end the show at 10:50 with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. So stick around for Matt and Air on Air, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network, as well as all of our other shows you can find. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Monday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The White House is trying to tamp down concerns after President Trump talked about regime change following Saturday's U.S. strikes on Iranian nuclear facilities. Spokeswoman Caroline Levitt.
The president's posture and our military posture has not changed. The president was just simply raising a question that I think many people around the world are asking.
Rafael Grossi is director general of the UN's nuclear watchdog.
We have a window of opportunity to return to dialogue and diplomacy. If that window closes, violence and destruction could reach unthinkable levels.
An oppressive heat wave is creeping east. These two are in Milwaukee.
I'm not a fan. It's really hot out. It's really sticky, and 70 would be nice.
I would rather have extreme hot. The older I get, the harder it is to get warm.
It'll get up to around 88 there today. The high for New York City, 97, and it could hit 99 in New York and Philadelphia tomorrow. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.